Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Francis Litzinger, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is 10 Things You Learn When You Move In With Your Parents Again at 57. If you would have told me that at the age of 57, I'd be living in my parents' basement, I'd have politely informed you that you should procreate with yourself twice. I'm not a millennial. I've owned two homes. I've held some serious executive jobs. I've two daughters, and I've been married twice. I like to think I've got some life experience under the proverbial belt. Going from the Bahamas to the basement isn't a simple straight line. But here I am. I'm writing this in my little corner of my parents' basement, surrounded by cardboard boxes that contain my former life, all packaged, tidy and neat, the boxes, not me. The Reader's Digest version of what happened would be along the lines of a family moving to the Bahamas from Toronto because of his wife's job. The man, yours truly, would not have a work permit, but would be responsible for their young preteen daughter. They sold their home in Toronto and were going to live the dream on a small island known for its stunningly clear aquamarine waters and incredible beaches. However, somewhere along the line, the wife would inform the husband, still yours truly, that things had changed and that she was no longer in love with him and that he could either go back to Canada or stay, but that he'd then have to live in another home. The resulting adventure has only recently concluded, and I'm still processing it, which is a fancy word for saying I'm writing about it, but it's a painful slog. In the meantime, there's one thing that's not in a box, and it keeps me company. It's my sense of humor. Believe me, you need it if you're going to room with your mom and dad after 40 years of being on your own. To be clear, I love mom and dad. I'm fortunate and grateful for them allowing me to play the role of the teenage son again. I know it's not something they ever expected, and they're good sports about it. It's a temporary phase, and I'm not sure where I'll end up next, but in the meantime, here are some fun facts about living with two 80-somethings. Number 10. Meals not on wheels. I'm assuming that when you reach a certain age, there's a comfort in taming as many of the unknowns as you can, especially when it comes to dinner time. For example, Monday nights are reserved for chicken paprikash, a Hungarian dish my granny used to make for my dad. Tuesday nights are wide open because dad goes out for schnitzel. So either you go out for schnitzel or fend for yourself. Wednesday nights are for pork chops. Thursday is fish night, typically salmon. Friday is another throw-it-in-the-air night because dad is out with his best friend, which means leftovers. Saturday is all about the bacon and eggs, with dinner being less important. And Sunday is for roast beef or roast chicken. Note, yes, I can cook for myself and I love doing it, but mom gets upset sometimes because I tend to make a mess in the kitchen and dad thinks my food is too weird. Number 9. Weather watching. Watching the Weather Channel or a 24/7 news channel is a full-time job. We live in Canada. There's a lot of snow up here and the weather sucks most of the time, but I repeat, it's Canada. Dad watches the Weather Channel and CP24 headline news every day, at least 4 to 6 times a day, so that he can turn to everyone in the house and tell whoever's in the room with him at the time, "There's a snow warning for this afternoon." There are about 15 variations of this warning Dad likes to issue to everyone in the house. My personal favorite so far is, Frankie, there's going to be a windstorm today. You'd better not use Mom's car to go to the gym. Number 8. Morning Obits. Breakfast is accompanied by the reading of the local newspapers in silence, except for the daily announcements, by either Dad or Mom, who after coming across the death of the day will put the paper down and proclaim in a sad but surprised voice, Did you see that? Died? He or she was only years old. Note, what's important here is that it never is anyone my parents knew. What matters is that the deceased was in their 80s or beyond. The best announcement so far has been the recent death of some old baseball player who played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was announced as if a long-lost relative had just passed. Upon hearing the news of someone passing, the other parent will let out a sustained, Oh, that's terrible! Which to me always sounds like they think we should have invented immortality by now, or that dying in your 80s is too young. Number 7. TV Tennis. Arguing about what TV shows, otherwise known as their programs, to watch is a sport, played every night. It's a form of mental exercise for Mom and Dad. On the one side of the court is Mom's team, PBS British Murder Mysteries, and on the other is Dad's. His team is an American cop show. Both will volley back and forth the merits of one over the other. The tiebreaker lies with me and my Netflix subscription. However, it's important to note they will react violently when I attempt to show them how easy it is to use Netflix when none of their programs are on. When I do try to teach them, I hear, I don't want to learn any of that streaming crap, Frankie. Just put it on yourself. Number 6. Blog Baby. The internet should get me a job. Being currently unemployed, I hear several times during the course of the week, always just after Dad has finished reading Time magazine. What's this blog thing I keep reading about? Do you have one, Frankie? Can't you make a lot of money from that? In the middle of my patient explanation about the internet, Dad will interrupt me and continue with, Can't you apply for a gig economy job or something? Number 5. Moan like you mean it. From personal observation, I can tell you that moans and groans are a part of life when you're in your 80s. I've learned to stop asking Mom or Dad every time I hear a loud exhale, even if it does sound like if an assassin has cut their throats. The two of them make expressive noises regardless of what they're doing, turning the page of a magazine, reaching for a plate, or making toast. It doesn't matter. If it involves the slightest bit of physical exertion, I expect a loud accompanying noise. The one I've yet to become accustomed to is my mother after she's had her first sip of tea in the morning. Note, to be clear, I need to add I've no idea if it sounds like what I'm going to say it sounds like. Mom, after adding her milk and sugar twin to her tea, will take a big sip, then make a long, sustained groan, as if she's having several multiple orgasms all in a row. Again, I've no factual evidence to base this on, but I'm telling you if you're in the kitchen early in the morning and you're not quite awake, and then you hear this, man, you'd swear something really nasty is going on. Number 4. Mail watching. Watching for the mail is an Olympic sport. There are numerous categories. There's the, but my bill will be due on the day I get it. There's also the, are you sure you mailed it to the right place for my sticker? Then there's the always popular, when's the last time you saw the mailman on our street today? All the categories are of the utmost importance, and coupled with this is the linked event of bill paying. Mom and Dad cannot pay a bill even one day after it's due. They prefer to pay on time, which for them is a week before. If it gets too close, meaning they know bills are coming due and the mail is late, it's a stage for emergency, and for the record, there are only 5 stages, with 5 being the highest. Number 3. Takeout time machine. Ordering Chinese food is a special event in the household. It's reserved for Super Bowl Sunday, and when mom and dad are too sick to cook, go out or let me cook. However, in this house, their house, they order the same Chinese food that most of the planet ordered 45 years ago, complete with the old reliable number 4, aka chicken balls with day glow orange sauce. I've given up trying to tell mom and dad about the vast, delicious range of Asian food now available. Number 2, death sleep. When mom or dad take a nap in the afternoon, they sleep with their mouths wide open. They look as if they've been strangled in their sleep. I used to make the mistake of walking by, seeing this, and nudging them awake to confirm that they're still alive. But then they would wake up out of their deep sleep and scream when they saw me hovering above them. In the end, there's probably a better chance of me killing them by waking them up like this, so now I don't walk past where they're napping. I figure if they're still napping by 7 p.m. Number 1. Mommy and Daddy. You know, every so often I let the guilt and all the other garbage that plays nonstop in my head slide away and enjoy just being a son again. So I've started some new traditions in the house while I'm here. I'm in charge of making cocktails around 4-ish almost every day. It's a Manhattan for Dad and Cosmo for Mom. I also program movie nights for us. I sneak in old westerns every chance I get. Dad will gripe at the start and tell me that he's seen it, but by about 10 minutes in, Dad, like the rest of us, is hooked and telling me, "That's when they knew how to make movies, Frankie." All in all, I take it as a temporary stage and an endless source of material. Who knows, maybe in another 20 years, one of my girls will be calling me, "Dad, do you think it's okay if I..." Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.